Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is Thursday night from 6 to 7. Well, I guess it's not from, but it is 6. It's 6 o'clock. It's time for the red card with your host, me, Casey Gibson, on radio.dominican.edu. How's it going out there? It's a lovely Thursday evening. I know I'm pumped. My class is canceled for tomorrow. So I don't know about everybody else, but I'm pumped for that because, no offense to you, I just need a long weekend. And I know the man sitting right next to me, you guys will know him. His name is Brian Sanchez. You'll know him from the sports report on radio.dominican.edu. He is the man. He's a very knowledgeable sports fan. From where are you from, Brian? I don't even know that.
Redwood City, California.
Redwood City.
Right across the bay.
Wow, so all you bay kids like to stick around the bay, huh?
Yeah, we do. Down there by the San Jose Earthquakes, since it's
show. Hey, I'm actually trying to get an internship there for next semester. Yeah, I'm super, super excited about that.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
So, anyway, my man here, where'd you transfer from?
I transferred from CSM, College of San Mateo. It's where John Miller, voice of the Giants, is from.
There you go.
Let's hope it rubs off.
We're getting a little info here on the man, right?
There you go.
Anyway, he tomorrow is, just so everybody knows, I'm going to give a little background. This week is technically what we call Spirit Week here at Dominican, and it's basically a chance for, old alumni, excuse me, not old, alumni from the past couple years and not even the past couple, but way back when, decades ago, to come back to Dominican, see what the school is like now, that you can experience. We have so many opportunities for parents and alumni to see how the school is run. In fact, there's a program where you can go and sit in a class tomorrow and learn about big history, which I know your girlfriend is. We just talked to her and she's kind of having to write a speech or something, I think is what I got from it.
Yeah, it looks like she's going to be representing the liberal studies department. Ooh. During that.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm not representing the comm department.
And then communications department has to be the best speech.
Yeah, because that's what we do,
right?
Basically.
That's pressure right there.
So
I wonder who is doing it.
Honestly, I don't really want to compete with your girlfriend with having to write a speech. I've seen her speak before. She's pretty good at it. So
yeah,
I'm not that person.
I'll give her that.
I'm just throwing it out there.
Do you know who's doing it for us, for the communication?
I have no idea.
Pressure's on.
Yeah, sucks to be them. So you get to do that. There's a luncheon tomorrow where you can meet alumni. The president's going to be there. And, of course, tomorrow there's a men's women's soccer game where we play BYU. I believe the women are at 12:30 and the men are at 3. And that's really why Brian's here. I'll get into that in just a second. I'm still in my little, giving you guys background information. Anyway, so you can do that. And then on Sunday, is it Saturday or Sunday?
For the inauguration?
Yeah, for the inauguration.
Saturday.
Saturday. Saturday is the inauguration. And we've never had that since I've been here. We've had the Spirit Week. And let me tell you, this is totally different than what it has been in the past. Just because of the inauguration. Because we're bringing in our new president, Mary B. Marcy, who's so far doing a fantastic job, in my opinion. She's doing a great job. And my favorite part is, just like Dr. Fink, she likes sports. I'm all about presidents liking sports. It makes it easier on everyone, if you ask me. So I'm really happy that she's here. I missed Fink and his super nice cars, but he's still around every once in a while. He took over the fundraising, chair for Dominican. So he's not totally gone. But anyway, back to Brian. He's here. He's going to be broadcasting the soccer games tomorrow. And I know he's super pumped about it because I just spoke with him just before we came on air. He's been doing volleyball with Stuart and Hunter. And he's having fun with that. And now it's his turn to really take on the leadership role or the spotlight, I guess, the main man on the mic. And call a soccer game, and I know you're excited about that.
No, you're absolutely right, and it kind of came about because of how much I like soccer. The other ones, I'm the one on the broadcast team.
Wait, time out. Hold on real quick. Are you just saying that because you're on a soccer show?
No, absolutely not.
And because you're in the presence of a soccer player, are you for really real about liking soccer?
I'm for real to the point where I played four games of FIFA today.
Dude, me too. I just got done playing FIFA to come. You know, all right. Anyway, back to that. That's a whole different story. Anyway, so okay, you're excited. What is this? I know this is the first game they've broadcast of soccer this year, isn't it?
Yep, it is.
And you're the man. They yep. came to you, Brian Sanchez.
Yeah.
How do you feel?
Man, I'm so excited. You know, it's my chance to really be on the radio, other than my show, and be the main voice. We're going to have just a parade of people coming in and broadcasting with me. I know, Mr. Gibson, you're going to be with me during the women's game, the
yes,
first half.
Yes, I will. Yes, I will.
And we have so many other people that wanted the opportunity because they like soccer as well. So they're going to be coming on with me, and it's going to be fun because it'll be a rotation through the booth. It'll keep the energy up.
Yeah.
And it won't be just stale, just me talking to you the whole time.
There's nothing wrong with that. No, I'm just saying. There's just nothing wrong with that.
I could live with it.
Of course you could. So he's really coming on to really just kind of ask me some questions about the soccer teams. If you have any questions, both men's and women's, since we travel together, I basically, you know, I watch it all. So he's basically just here to get some more info from me. I don't know necessarily about just the Dominican team or if it's soccer in general or what, but I'm going to send it over to him now, and he's going to kind of take the reins, and I'm just going to sit here and answer questions.
All right.
So
let's do this. First, I want to know for your team.
Yes.
What is the strength of your team?
The strength.
Other than the goaltending.
Other than the goaltending, yeah. We've got two solid goalkeepers. There's no doubt about that. I would say that our biggest strength actually is we're very technical. And what I mean by technical is we possess the ball and we can move the ball very well. We have very good feet, very good knowledge of the game for the most part. And our strength is definitely within our midfield. We're we're a pretty quick team, to be honest with you. We can ping the ball, and I know these are soccer terminologies, but pinging just means, you know, off your to like 1-2 touches on the ball, and the ball is completely moving. We like to play a style kind of like Barcelona, and I don't really like to compare ourselves to professional teams, because I'm not saying that we should be Barcelona, but that's the kind of player that we like to play. We like really fast pace. We have very good wingers, and we're deep for the most part. We can almost put anybody out there and know that whatever we ask, they'll be able to do, and they'll be able to give it to us for 90 minutes. And that's really honestly what we like to have is just everybody putting forth everything they have for the 90 minutes, whether you're starting, whether you come in as a sub, or whether you're on the bench. You know, I feel like sometimes that's a thing that gets overlooked a lot is how deep you are, and then not only whether or not you have those subs, but whether or not you have like the other reserves that are consistently helping the kids on the field. You know, on the bench we can talk to them, we can let them know we're almost just as important, and maybe not even in a technical way, but we're there to support, you know, everything. We can help get us through or over those humps. So I just think all in all, we're a very talented and technical team.
Nice. Now, I know what you're saying about not wanting to compare yourself to a pro team, but when you were going through it, Barcelona was the one that was running through my head too, because that's my favorite team. That's my favorite team.
Ooh, Brian, we have big problems, my man.
I know. But that's what they reminded me of with the midfield play and the quick touches. Yep. That's what came to mind for me. Now, I was looking at the stat sheet, and I see that David Mendez, he's tied for the lead in goals and points, but when it comes to shots, he's got a heavy, heavy lead. He's up 14 shots on second place.
Yep.
Now, is he the go-to guy?
He is, and it's a big role to have for him. You know, he's a sophomore, a true sophomore. So it's rough because we're asking a lot out of him. We're asking a lot offensively out of him, I should say, because we move him around from not only the forward but to the midfield role as our attacking mid. And the style we play what's a variation of a four. I don't want to. All right, so we play four in the back. We play two kind of holding mids, an attacking mid, two wingers, and a forward. So it's a variation of a 4-3-3, which is a very attacking-minded formation. it's basically what Barcelona plays. Hey, crazy. What do you know? But anyway, he's very, we ask a lot of him offensively. And so a lot of our shots come through him. A lot of our creativity comes to him because he's a very creative player. He's a very technical player. So we ask a lot out of him. And so far, he's doing a very good job. I know he may not be as happy with how his performances have come, necessarily on the goal scoring end of things, but he's definitely our playmaker. And he's filling the shoes of someone that is very, very good. And probably one of the best players that I've ever had the privilege to play with, and that's Pedro Guevara. And so far, I wouldn't want anything different from David. You know, I understand that it's a big role to have, to play Division II soccer and to be asked so much of, not only by the coaches, but by your teammates. He's also the captain, or one of the captains, one of the co-captains. And so he's taken a lot on his shoulders, and he's doing fantastic with it. And I know he wishes he could maybe have a couple more goals, but, you know, at a young age, in college soccer and at a young age, all it takes is one goal and you'll find the rhythm. So we have 4 games left. I wouldn't be surprised if he scores at least one in every of those games.
Yeah, absolutely. And you brought it up. You'd never want to be satisfied with what you're doing. So it's okay to be a little disappointed, exactly, as long as it doesn't bring down your play. Now, I heard you mention co-captains. Who is he co-captains with?
Brian Bianucci. He's a transfer from our, Santa Rosa JC, which is just up the road. And he was actually on our team last year, but some stuff happened with the NCAA, and so he actually had to sit out last year. But he's here, and he's a very good team player and motivator. So it's nice to have those two fellas on the team. One that kind of leads by example, and the other one that's kind of like the more, you know, person you can go to talk to, and then also helps motivate us right before the whistle blows when we step out on the pitch.
All right, nice. Now, I know you have a nice rotation going on at goalie.
Yeah.
Do you know who's going to be in the net tomorrow?
I don't know exactly, but my guess is we're going to start the freshman, Eric Anderson. So far, the kid's amazing. He's a true freshman coming in, playing at a high level. The first 4 weeks or so, maybe like 5 or 6 weeks actually of the season, he's actually out with a broken ankle. And but when he came back, we kind of fed him into the lineup here and there, and really got his feet wet. And so far, the kid's done fantastic. He's an absolute, I really don't know how to say it, but he's a fabulous goalkeeper. And in the last 2 games that he's played, I mean, probably the best performances of definitely of his college career, but maybe even his career. Against Notre Dame, he had, I can't even tell you how many tremendous saves he had. Then 2 days ago, when we played Humboldt State, same thing, just phenomenal. He's absolutely, he's someone at a young age, which is kind of rare, that you can really rely on between the pipes. It's cool to see it, and as a goalkeeper myself, you know, I try and push him as much as I possibly can within practices, because you know, it's a friendly competition between the two of us, since there's only 2 goalkeepers of the team. It's a friendly competition, but I wouldn't want anything different. You know, it's practices are very competitive, but that's how we want it. But then when it comes to game times and off the pitch, it's a brotherly thing. You know, it's cool because I can call him my brother and know that he's got my back, and I will always have his. So it's cool to see not only that, but then how much he's grown within the past, I don't even know how many games he's been back, probably 6 or 7 or so, just how much he's grown up from the first game that he started to the games he's playing now. And he's almost playing at, I would say, a sophomore level, maybe even higher. He's doing a fantastic job, and I can't say enough about the kid. He's fantastic.
Yeah, it's impressive. You just basically outlined what you were saying earlier about how this team really is like a family.
Oh,
and
yeah,
everybody helps everybody out, and really that gets rid of complacency. Now I got two more points I want to hit before I'm done with you.
Oh, okay.
And one is we brought up Eric Anderson. That's the goalie.
Yep.
And we brought up David Mendez, yep. The young. Is he? He's a wing, right?
David is our striker, our lone striker slash so he's midfield the one, player. Okay.
Yeah. Got you.
Yeah.
And it seems like you have a very young team.
Oh, there was a point where we started 9 freshmen out of 11 players, of 11 starters.
So we should expect big Dominican things. Soccer big on the things. Upswing coming up.
Right? I honestly, and I don't know if Delano wants me saying this, but I expect big things. And he may not. I take that back. He definitely does.
He should.
But I expect big things from these fellas. Back 2 years ago when I was a freshman, we had big goals set upon us to really do well within the PacWest Conference. And, my first 2 years were definitely stepping stones to becoming a very, very good team and becoming competitive within the PacWest Conference. And there's no doubt within my mind that this year's another, good step. It's a learning step. But then not only that next year you get some experience with these fellas' belts and you just keep growing
and everybody we get Pedro back
and you keep growing and everything it's looking good right now. Dominican soccer definitely has a bright future and I'm definitely privileged to have had 3 years here and I still got one more, so I'm excited and I know it's crazy to think that I'm almost done, but it's cool to see to be here for the first 2 transitional years and then see us 2 years as an official member and see really where we're going. And I'm excited and it's crazy to think, but I mean, the season's not over yet and we can still do fairly well within the PacWest Conference right now. And so, but every day, every minute, every hour, whatever you want to say, every practice, you see kids maturing and progressing in the direction that we want. So, and then you have the whole off season, and then you come back next year, and depends on who we get and recruit. And I think we're just going to be a very solid team. And we have 2 great defenders that are solid solid center backs. Corey Vanderpool and Evan Myers doing a fantastic job as well. And so, all around the board, our wingers, whether or not we play Nuri Bonacosta or Colby Mitnick out there, everybody's playing fantastic. Holding mids, Dale Howard and Manny Sandoval. I mean, and then honestly, we have a left back who's the sophomore, who's the other besides David, are the 2 sophomores that start. So honestly, at one point we start 9 freshmen and 2 sophomores.
Wow.
There's no upperclassmen technically on the starting 11, so we're definitely a young team, and everybody's doing well. Sam Vela on the left back is a fantastic player, likes to get up in the attack, and then you also have Fabian. What's his last name?
Valdez.
Valdez. Thank you. This is so confusing, and him and Manny both have like 2 last names, and it gets confusing. But anyway. Fabi does a fantastic job as a right back, and he also too gets in the attack. So, all around the board, it's awesome. I'm super excited, not only for the rest of this year, but for the years to come.
All right,
and even if I'm not here, I'm excited to see how these guys do.
Oh yeah, I mean, their career. You're a fan for life. No.
Oh, without a doubt.
Now
once
said,
a penguin, always a penguin.
Absolutely. Now you said that you're almost done here, and that's got to be kind of a trip. But it seems like you got a big chance to be a part of something huge next year. And a big reason for that is going to be Pedro. You mentioned him before. Yep. He's out this year with an injury.
Yeah.
He'll be back next year.
Yep. Is he
around the team right now?
Oh, yeah. Still, yeah.
How much of a help has he been, even though he can't play, talking people through things?
Yeah. Yeah. There's no doubt he's definitely a key guy within our program. There's no question about that. And he doesn't necessarily need to do it on the pitch, but just at practices or wherever we play. It may not be at a practice. It may be in the gym lifting weights. It may be, indoor, whatever the situation calls for. Pedro's always there. He's a very smart player. One of the greatest players I've ever had the privilege of playing with, like I said. And he's always there if you have questions. If any of the players, especially the attacking minded players, the midfield players, if they have questions on what Delano or Cody's really asking out of them, he's there to just, you know, hey, look, this is what they want. I'll give it to you in a way that's easier for you to understand. Not the coach to player, but more of like a brother or player to player kind of contact. And he's fantastic. And we actually played an 11v11 game the other day, and he actually got to play with us. And it's funny to see a lot of these freshmen's looks on when he gets the ball at his feet, and everybody's just kind of like, whoa.
And what's he playing at? 70%?
Oh, 60? Maybe. Yeah. And it's funny because they're like, dude, he's so good. And we're like, the funny thing is you guys haven't even seen him at 100%. Like, he looks, and like, everybody's like, dude, he was so good. And some of us older guys are kind of like, dude, he was playing like crap. Like, I don't get it, you know, not to harp on the kid, but that wasn't like, and they're like, no way. And it's just like, so it's like, with him coming back next year and these young guys just growing even more, and the sophomores becoming juniors and the freshmen becoming sophomores and bringing even in maybe even some more freshmen, it's really a recruiting process. And it's cool to see the maturing that's going on and the way that Pedro helps out with the team, even though he's not able to be on the field with them, which is I feel bad for the kid because I know he really wanted it. But in the end, it works out. He's getting even better. So I mean, that's all about all we can ask for is for Pedro to be the best that he can be, and he's always going to be that. So it's fun.
Man, it sounds awesome. And hopefully he'll be coming on to do some of the women's game with me tomorrow.
All right. There you go.
That's kind of the plan we got going.
That's kind of the plan. That's a little sneak peek.
If you have some time, he has a little time too. Maybe we'll just let you two guys run away with it for a little bit. But I've mentioned the women's team. I came on here to talk mostly men's with you because you're on the team, so that's obviously your specialty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I want to hit the women real quick because I'm also broadcasting their game.
Of course.
Give me, now, if you leave girls out, you're not being mean. You're not saying they're not good. But give me the girls to watch out for right now. The players I need to notice when I'm watching.
The girls to watch out for. There's a lot, actually. They're a very good team as well. I would say the number one person you got to look for is Juliana G. Brasberg. You know, she's the playmaker on the team, and as a team, you want the ball to be at her feet as much as possible. And I think you'll see that a lot tomorrow. You know, the BYU women's team is fantastic. Last year, they were ranked 9th in the country, and they were undefeated. And so it should be it'll be nice to get them at home. Especially for the girls, and have that chance to really kind of really work hard and see a good opponent. Not that a lot of the players or the opponents they've had aren't good, but it'll be nice for them to really have a competitive game. And that's what you always want as an athlete, is just a competitive game. But I would definitely say G. The other person you got to look for is Shayna Elkins. She's a senior. She's the holding mid. Very physical, but you know, defensive minded kind of player. You also have Tori Salacia, the sophomore, on the outside, and can use her speed that's absolutely blazing as a serious weapon. You know, get her in behind the defense and let her go to work. She's also very good with the ball at her feet. At forward, they've been playing a couple people here and there. Last game, they started a sophomore. Caitlin Baptista did a very good job at forward. She used to be a defender last year, and they've kind of converted her into some sort of an attacking-minded young lady, which it seems she scored a goal three games ago, and you know, doing a really good job, if you ask me, and especially at a position where she might not be as familiar with. And on the left side and in midfield, last game they started Emily Whitaker, the junior, who usually plays left back. But I guess they're kind of trying to get more attacking-minded people. She is a defender that likes to get into the attack, so they kind of put her in there. I would say another person you got to look for is Lexis Humphrey. She comes in off the bench usually, but every once in a while she gets a start, and she's a very good playmaker. She's good with the ball at her feet and can really dice people up. She's very good technically, And then the defense is strong. You have Carey Fryer, who's stepped into the center back role and has done a fantastic job. And then you also have Megan Hansen, who's a freshman, and I will put money on it. If there was any player that I would put money on, like as a center back and winning balls, it's definitely her. I think there was a game where we tallied it. There was like 50 balls that went her direction. She won every single one of them. Not once did the other team win one. She's a fantastic player. And then on the left side on defense, you've got Katie Brown, a senior, plays, you know, fantastic. There, you can't really say much about any of these ladies that isn't great. And then in the right side, I've noticed that they're playing Catherine Ripple, who's a sophomore, and she's doing a fantastic job there. And then you always have solid goalkeeping and Megan Herring. So all around, the team's looking really good. And so I would say tomorrow is a very good test for them, as is for the men's team. But, I mean, don't be shocked if something crazy happens.
So I got a good shot at calling a couple of wins tomorrow.
I would say so.
Fantastic.
Which is a good thing to hear. The girls' game is going to be very competitive and hopefully a hard-fought game. I definitely hope that the girls come out with a solid, solid result. And for the guys, I would say we're hungry right now. You know, we got 4 games left in the season. Season really hasn't gone the way that we planned, but we're definitely hungry, and we definitely want to end the season on a high note. And this last game, even though we did lose 1-0 in overtime, it was a step in the right direction. You know, they get a lucky bounce, and that's the way it is. So it's time for us to get a little luck, and we get to do it on our home field. So, and we get to do it hopefully in front of a lot of people. I'm hoping the Spirit Week will help with that.
I really think it will. It's going to be exciting. I'm excited to be calling it. And I'd like to thank you for having me on your show, Casey. It's been very insightful. And it's going to be a great call tomorrow because it's going to be a great game.
I definitely agree. What time would you like me there? If the game's at 12:30, you want me there a little sooner?
Yeah, I'd say any time between 12 and 12:30.
Okay.
If you want to get there early enough, we can knock out a pregame show. I was planning on having one.
Okay.
And I know if I have Gibson of the red card on it,
okay,
it's going to send ratings through the roof.
Oh, yeah.
So let's go.
I bet.
We're going on air at 12:15.
12:15. All right. I will most likely be there at 12:15.
Perfect.
Maybe 12:16. We'll see.
Perfect. 12:16, it'll be fine. 12:17, I'm going to have to kick you out.
You are fired. All right. Thank you, Brian. Thank you for coming on. I mean, you can stick around if you want. Like, you can talk soccer with me. I don't know how much you follow, but.
And I know soccer, especially because I play so much FIFA. But next to you, I'm just gonna look silly.
Next to me.
Plus, I know you're not gonna like that. My favorite.
I don't like the Barca.
My favorite EPL player is Yaya Toure, who's on Man City. And I know you're a Man U guy.
I know, but Yaya Toure is a good player. Like, it's not. I don't. And you know, I think I might have something in here about Yaya Toure. He might be on his way out of Man City. So,
uh-oh.
I mean. We'll see.
You know what? I'm going to stick around now.
You're going to stick around. All
right, we go till 7, right?
Yeah, we go till 7. That right. means, you
I'm
know.
Here with you then.
All right, we're going to take a real quick break here on the red card. We'll be right back. We'll talk a little EPL, a little La Liga, and if we have time, some other of these leagues. Because, I mean, I can cut. You know, I'm the manager of this show or whatever you want to say.
Executive decision.
All right, we'll be right back with the red card on radio.dominican.edu. Don't we run away together, tear apart and make life better? Put our final thoughts out one last time. Or we should reach and steal the weather, have a go and finally sever all of the ties that bind us to our life. All it takes is a slip of our luck to find out hell is in the plan and love. Those foolish fools among us who think time is made of sand and light. Like the dark in the light on the mark, how can we exist together and pretend? Why don't we
run away together, tear apart and make life better. Put our final thoughts out one last time, or we should reach and steal the weather, have a go and find and sever all of the ties that bind us to our life. Don't we run away together, tear apart and make life better? Put our final thoughts out one last time, or we should reach and steal the weather, have a go and find and sever all of the ties that bind us to our life.
To the red card on radio.dominican.edu. We've been talking a little bit earlier with Brian Sanchez here, and he's going to stick around, like he said before the break, and he's going to talk some soccer with us. And, you know, I have no problem with that, because I'm sure he knows his stuff. We've been talking a little bit at the break, and he seems to know a little bit about it, about the game of soccer, or football, as it's referred to around the world. And well, I guess we might test him a little bit. We'll see.
Oh, there it is.
We've been talking a little bit about FIFA, and we both play FIFA, so I'm sure he'll do fine. And you can learn a lot from FIFA. You know what I'm saying?
Gray,
I'm
just throwing it out there. Dark and McNamin.
There you go. See, he knows the announcers already. All right, so like we said, we talked a little Dominican soccer, getting him ready for tomorrow. But we're going to switch to more professional, well, not more professional, professional soccer players and teams and leagues. And, you know, the first one we always start with is the EPL, the English Premier League. It's my favorite league. There's no question about that. I think it's the best league in all of Europe. I might be biased, but I don't think so.
No, I'd have to agree. Well, as a fan of a Spanish team,
yeah,
I'm going to have to go ahead and say the EPL is the best
league.
All right,
league. See, we're converting.
Because of the depth.
Depth, and I agree. And the physical play, to me, is what really brings it as to being the best. If you can do really well within a physical game, then there's no question about that. You're a good player and you're a good team. So physical play is the biggest one, whereas in Spain and in Italy and Germany is the other physical league. But in the other two, it's more about your technical ability and you know, very fluid movements and, you know, looking good.
Pretty to watch.
There's no question about that. It's very pretty to watch. Anyway, we're going to start off with a little Man City stuff. This is the biggest news. Just released today, the PFA refuses to sanction the 4-week fine imposed on Carlos Tevez by Manchester City. This comes after his little, I would say, pouting incident where Mancini states that Carlos Tevez refused to go into the game against Bayern Munich in their Champions League game, where they ended up losing 2-0. There's a lot of he say type stuff going on. Tevez states that he didn't refuse to go in. He just refused to warm back up before going in. He refused to, so he warmed up a little bit, then sat down, and refused to go warm up again before going in. He said he just wanted to go straight in. He was ready to go. So, but on the other side, Mancini says that he refused to go in and play. I don't know. I don't according to the report by the PFA, which is the Professional Football Association, Players Football Association, excuse me, it stated that the player was not found guilty of refusing to play. So, I don't know how they found this out. I honestly don't know. Maybe assistant coaches, you know, some sort of thing like that. I'm not sure.
That'd be my guess. It had to be someone on the bench that saw the whole thing go down and reported it set it straight.
I would have to assume. I don't know if they have those big, like, circular microphone things like they have in American football that hears everything said on the sideline. So I don't know. I guess that's the only way you can really tell. And even then, it's a little sketchy, because are you going to go against the coach or are you going to go against the player? The coach kind of decides your playing time. I'm just throwing it out there. Maybe playing devil's advocate. I don't know. Tevez wants to sue and could sue Mancini for that. What he says is unexcusable actions, you know, claiming how he claims that Mancini's out to get him.
He's going for a little defamation of character.
Defamation of character, exactly. And so, I think this whole thing's gotten blown out of proportion. I don't think it's really that big of a deal anymore. It's 4 weeks ago. Get over it. That's all I really have to say about that. And there's also more drama going on in Manchester. Tevez to Corinthians, when transfer window opens in January, there's been some speculation saying that Tevez could be moving back to Argentina to play for the Corinthians. That's where he came from originally before joining the EPL. There was a big speculation this summer about whether or not he was going to move there or not, but I guess a deal wasn't found or finalized. So now they're saying the Corinthians came out and said, you know, we're close to having him, and that's what he's always wanted. He always wants to go back to Argentina, and right now things aren't going well at City for him. So I think we could see the end of Carlos Tevez in Manchester and in England. I don't know.
Maybe he'll use the whole lawsuit thing as, you know what, I'll drop it if you just send me back. Like, we'll just call everything square. You send me back, I'm happy, you're happy.
You got rid of me, you don't have to pay me anymore.
Yeah, and I don't want to be here. So.
That's very true, but here's the thing. Would Manchester City do that, or would they put a price on his head? Because he's definitely worth some money. There's no question about that. He's absolutely a fantastic player.
He can score.
Exactly. So, I mean, I'm sure City is going to want some large amount of money for him. And that's part of the reason why they couldn't come up with a deal this summer. So, I guess it's just a waiting game until January. More City news. I was very disheartened about this past weekend. In the Manchester Derby, City beats Manchester United 6-1. Yikes. I thought I was very sad about this. it really took it out of me.
That's not just a loss.
Yeah, that's not a loss. That's a dagger through the heart almost.
It really is.
Balotelli had 2 goals. Edmund Dzeko had 2 as well. Aguero and Silva both had 2. And it all came after a red card, you know. There's a red card early, like 47th minute, so early in the second half. It was 3-0 at halftime, so they scored 3 goals with 10 men, going against 10 men. Fletcher scored in the 81st minute of the game to give United their 1 goal, which is probably about the only happy light that was seen in this fixture. And I said it last week, I was a little scared for it. You know, they didn't show very well against the in their Champions League game, getting 2 PKs from Wayne Rooney to win 2-0. But, you know, PKs are PKs, and you need to score goals in open play. United's kind of hit a wall with their scoring. They were off that hot start at the beginning of the year, kind of hitting a wall. But I have no faith, I have every bit of faith in Ferguson to right the ship. The same thing happened to Arsenal when they played Manchester United. They lost 8-2, but since then they've won 6 out of 7 games, and I'm just throwing it out there. I'm just putting it out there. If Arsenal can do it, United can do it. That's all I have to say. But the other thing I want to bring up is, was the league decided in that game? Who wins the EPL? Does Manchester City win the EPL now, or is the EPL still up? They're up 5 points. On the table, up 20. It's 25 points. The second team in Manchester United has 20 points. So it's close. It's early in the year. We're only in the 9th week. Okay, in the 9th, you know, 9th week. We're almost in the 10th. It's early. There's still lots of games to be played and lots of football to be decided, as I'd like to say. Manchester City though hasn't lost a game yet. They haven't lost a game.
There's one thing that scares me about them, though. It's the same reason I'm happy that Terrell Owens in football hasn't been picked up, because there are guys that cause problems, and I think it hurts you in the long run. And I honestly don't like Balotelli.
Balotelli.
When he did his little move when he's over, when they're over here playing in America.
The little cheeky back heel
type. And he missed, and he was laughing, and he was showing him up. To me, and I've seen him do a couple other things where he tries to get flashy and no substance, I don't like that. And I feel like he'd be the kind of person that would cause a problem in the locker room. And maybe it'll dissipate where Man U's going to stay steady and they have a chance to climb back and catch him.
It's very true. And he also likes to set his house on fire. I don't know if you heard about that, but earlier in the week he set his house on fire playing with fireworks in his bathroom.
See?
So I'm just saying. And then when he scored his first goal, he lifted up his shirt and he says, "Why always me?" And is in question mark, and you know
I don't like
you're always in the media. Yeah. Anyway, he's a goofball, but I have to give him this. He's young.
Oh, he could play,
and he can score goals. He's a very good soccer player. Oh, so, yeah. I just think he plays for the wrong team. That's just me. I think he should go play for United or so. Ferguson wouldn't have any of that nonsense.
Now you got the right guy in Chicharito.
Oh, definitely. He's amazing. But there, another big story within the EPL is John Terry. Did he say a racial slur Ferdinand or Real Ferdinand's little brother? Oh, I don't know. It's so far the allegations have been put out there by Real Ferdinand's little brother, and they will not have any advances by Terry. Terry's tried to contact both of them. Both of them have rejected it. This is big time because I don't know if you know, a couple years ago before the World Cup, John Terry got caught sleeping with Wayne Bridges' wife slash girlfriend slash baby mama slash...
And that was a teammate.
You know what I'm saying? Teammate on the England national team. And now he's doing it to another, you know, English player. And not only is his teammate's little brother, but does he not learn from the first time?
It's just senseless.
And there's a lot of problems with racism in soccer.
You see the signs, the
no red racism. Card to racism, yeah. And that kind of stuff within the World Cup and everything. And FIFA's and UEFA are really cracking down on it. There's a lot of players that want the EPL to really crack down as well and ban Terry for a couple games. And honestly, if what he said is true, I'm all for it because I don't want another headbutting incident. Like Zinedine Zidane did to what's his name from Italy in the 2006 World Cup. So banning players for racism, I'm all for it. I don't like racism, so I have no use for it.
Yeah, and it's one thing for a stupid fan to do it, but
exactly
on the pitch, you're supposed to stick together.
You're a professional soccer player. Not only that, it's your own countryman.
Yeah,
like
it's awful.
It's so much worse to do it to your own friend or teammate's little brother. Someone that you've met and you play, it's unexcusable in my opinion. But any more Chelsea news going against? So they just can't get better right now because their Chelsea's bid to buy back the stadium ownership fails. They tried to buy it back from their fan group that owned it a couple years ago, so that they could miss foreclosure and stay owners in parentheses of it. They want a new stadium, a new 60,000 seat stadium, but they kind of need the money that they would use on selling the land that Stamford Bridge is on right now to help pay for that stadium. But the owners are saying no. And the only reason they're saying no is they're all for a new stadium, but they don't like the way that Chelsea went through it. They kind of tried to bypass them, but then when they couldn't, they're like, all right, well, you know, hurry up and make this vote and let's do it. They didn't like that, so they said no. And Chelsea doesn't look like they're going to get a new stadium sooner. They're probably going to get it later than sooner, if at all. Arsenal is also in the headlines. Arsene Wenger says he understands the fans' disappointment in the way that their team is playing. I don't disagree with that at all. I think Arsene Wenger is a great coach. Don't get me wrong. He's coached some fantastic Arsenal sides. And I don't think it's his time to leave. Honestly, I still think he's one of the top coaches in the league, and I would hate to see him leave anytime soon. I think he's the right man to kind of right the ship and put things back to the way they once were there at the Emirates Stadium. Chelsea this past weekend fell against Queen's Park Rangers. That was a crazy game. I don't know if you saw it, but Didier Drogba got sent off. Another player, Bisingua, got sent off with a late challenge. And honestly, Didier Drogba's challenge was absolutely horrific. I don't know if you saw it. It was
I did.
Oh, gosh. I thought he was going to break someone's leg.
I would expect better from Didier.
I know.
Not him.
Yeah, I don't get it. You know,
it had to just been a frustration.
It was a frustration. He lost the ball, and he just came in 2 feet, right? Yeah. Oh, like he could have broken someone's leg, which would have been really scary. Everton beat Fulham 3-1. Oh, and before I go there, to pour salt on the wound, they lost 1-0 on a PK.
Huh.
So, goodness nice. Gracious.
Way to go.
Everton defeat Fulham 3-1. Everton's starting to gain a little momentum after starting off a little slow. That's good for the American goalkeeper, Tim Howard, because I'd hate to see him have a rough season. And I'm all for him. He's one of my favorite goalkeepers. So
great leader.
Yes, go Tim Howard. Arsenal ride RVP, Robin van Persie's brace for a 3-1 win over Stoke. A brace, for those of you that don't know, is two goals. You get one goal, two goals is a brace, three goals is a hat trick, and goes on from there. Wolves came back to save a draw with Swansea with two late goals, both scored within the last 10 minutes of the game. Newcastle beats Wigan 1-0, and this is big time for Newcastle because they are the only other team besides Man City that's unbeaten in the EPL. They're currently in fourth, and 2 years ago, they were relegated. So, I don't know if they're like the Lions of this year, You know what I'm saying? To kind of make it so people understand, to compare them to the Lions. They're kind of like the 0-16 Lions and now the, what, 5-2 Lions. That, you know? Just throwing it out there.
Hey, great story.
Yeah. Great story to, without a doubt. Liverpool draw 1-1 with Norwich City. City now top table by 5 points. United's in second with 20. And Chelsea Newcastle tied on points with 19. Chelsea's in third because of goal differential, and goal differential sucks. And I don't think it sucks in league play, but when it comes down to the Champions League, it kind of bites people in the butt. Tottenham Hotspurs jump Liverpool to the fifth spot. And the fifth spot in the EPL is very crucial because the first three qualify for Champions League automatically. The fourth one has to go to a playoff round to get into Champions League, and the fifth one gets to go to the Europa League. So
you want it.
Wait, no, that's not right. I excuse myself. Three, four automatically qualify, one qualifies for the playoff for the Champions League, excuse me. Arsenal slowly working up the table, now in seventh, only 3 points from qualifying for that last qualifying spot. So they were off to a slow start. Now they're starting to gain momentum. Like I said, they've won last 6 out of 7. Look out, everybody. And like I said earlier, Arsenal was off to a slow start, and they have now, like I said, won 6 out of 7 after that 6 or 8-2 defeat to United. United just lost 6-1. Could we see another turn like that for United? I'm hoping so. Let's really hope for that, because I'd love to see a United win this weekend.
I'd like to see him beat City.
Me too. I just don't like City.
I just don't like Balotelli.
Can I just... I won't... I didn't say that, but I really did. Manchester United travels to Everton. So, unfortunately, I hope Tim Howard... Tim Howard. I think Tim Howard needs a break.
Not have a bad game, but have a one goal worse game.
No, see, I need United to score a lot of goals. So. Oh,
it's because of the differential.
I think he needs to take a break. Just throwing it out there. If the manager wants to listen, I'm all here. Arsenal meet Chelsea this weekend, which is a big game for both of those clubs. Chelsea could maybe, you know, really solidify themselves as at the top with the Manchester United or with the Manchester teams. Wolves take on Man City. Hope Man City loses that game. Sergio Aguero and Wayne Rooney tied with 9 goals to lead the league. So after 9 games score or 10 games played or whatever we've played, seems like way too many, and we're only like a third of the way through the season. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that's gonna do it for me. It's gonna do it for Brian. Catch us tomorrow on the, what are we gonna call the early show?
Pre-game show. It's before the game, pre the game.
I was hoping we come up with some snatchy, kind of, you know, bring people in.
The Super Soccer Extravaganza. Super
Soccer pregame show.
Sabado Gigante on Friday.
Anyway, that'll do it for me on the red card. Join me next week, 6 to 7, as always, on radio.dominican.edu.